Well, good morning again. So you definitely want to be seated for the remainder of this lesson. Those who don't know me, let's just say those who do know me, if they're hungry, they probably don't like the fact that it's not Ray this morning and it's me. So with that, so you all know, to our visitors, I am not the pulpit minister, one of the shepherds here at Garrett Road. Our pulpit minister is on vacation, as Mike said this morning during Bible class, up in Cincinnati. So, therefore, we as elders have decided that every fifth Sunday we would go ahead and take a lesson to preach to the congregation. And with that, my turn was January. But unfortunately, as I had already prepared, then on that weekend, I came down sick, so therefore, I did not take my turn, and unfortunately, I handed it off to my son, Andrew, who I called him down and said, guess what, son, I've done my lesson, here it is, I'm sick, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm really proud of him for filling in at the last minute for me, and I listened to it, and everybody told me he did a great job. But then again, so now the opportunity arose, there were ministers on vacation, decided, you know what, just as the other elders, I would take my turn. So here we are. So the introduction, so you got the reading there. To live as Christ, to die as gain is the title of my lesson from Philippians chapter 1. We will look at that one more time in a little bit of the detail that I wanted to talk about. But with that, so you can kind of see, it's amazing to me when, I think the hardest thing, first of all, about preaching is taking the Word of God in its entirety, everything that exists there, and trying to pick out a lesson, because there is so much to talk about. So that's the hardest thing, and of course, I didn't get it to Rick in time, because I'm just meditating on what do I want to speak on. And there were certain things that I did want to speak on, but this has touched my heart as I came across it, and I thought about, I think this is what I want to talk about this morning. Some kind of a positive lesson for us as Christians in this world that we're in today. And it just amazes me how the Holy Spirit works, because now in Mike's class, sitting in on Mike's class, and some of what he was talking about, just how the two really go hand in hand and kind of go together. So you'll see that as we go through the lesson this morning. So first, let's talk about Paul a little bit. So he's the one wrote here to the Philippians, right? They're in Philippi. And with Paul, his background, right, his background of persecuting the church and all that and his conversion, I really wanted to jump back to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, his conversion, they're waiting in Damascus. You look at verses 15 and 16, this is when Ananias had been told to go to Saul. There's a man that awaits him in Damascus, and Ananias to go to him. And he's very reluctant, okay, very reluctant. So in verse 15 it says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Okay, and Mike talked a little bit about that this morning. But here it says, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So turn back to Acts chapter 16. So this is the first time in his second missionary journey at which he journeyed across the sea there and went to Macedonia, and he's here in Philippi, right? And in Acts chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, you'll see what's happened to him. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. All right, so it wasn't exactly the greatest reception here in Philippi for Paul. So looking at his background and looking at this and what he's been through and what's going on now, he writes this letter back to them. And if you wouldn't know, he's writing this letter to the church from prison. And now he's in prison in Rome, and he's writing this letter to them. So he could have been bitter about the whole thing. He could have been bitter about what's happened to him all along the process, about where he is right now. But yet this letter is a letter of encouragement and love to these Philippians. And he's telling them about some of the things that has happened to him, but yet all for the cause of Christ. Okay, all for the glory and sake of Christ. So it was an inauspicious beginning of the church here in Philippi, but Paul saw great potential and he was not disappointed. So when he's writing this book toward the latter end of it, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 19, Paul mentions the generosity of the Philippians and how more than once they contributed to his ministry. So he saw the potential in the church, and they lived up to that potential. Now, here's the thing. Great congregations are not measured by numbers or by wealth or even by popularity. Great congregations are measured by their faithfulness to the Lord. Revelation 2:10, the latter half, the last line there. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. So look at our text of Philippians chapter 1. Just seeing the little bit of what Paul's dealt with and realizing, okay, where he is and where he is writing from at this point. So how is it that he can say, let's look at verse 21. How is it he can say, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain? But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So let's kind of look at some of the situations that we ourselves as Christians face, keeping this in mind. First of all, if you didn't know it, young included, every single one of us will face death. Every single one of us. It's one of those things, death and taxes, right? You're not going to get out of it. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Paul is encouraging the Thessalonians there, talking about those who sleep and yet those who rise. And what's going to happen? Okay, but we're all going to die. James 4:13-17 talks about the vapor, right? Your life, you know, especially as you're young. I think about when I was young, and yes, the memory is not always that great anymore. Blissful times, maybe. But the thing is when you're young, you just think you have eternity here on earth. It just seems that way. But really, life is like a vapor. Think about the old aerosol cans, right? Spray that in the air, and what happens? In just moments, it's fleeting and it's gone, disappears. And that's our life. Think about how long this earth has been here. Think about how long it's been since Jesus, right? Over 2,000 years. And yet your little life, in most often less than a century, is here and it's gone, right? But until death comes, we as Christians have choices. We have choices in life, and those choices that we're going to make is what we are going to live for and who we are going to live for. What we live for will determine how we deal with life's issues. And this is where I get into. Mike was talking about the adversities, you know, the trials in James chapter 1 there. So who you live for, what you live for, will determine how you deal with life's issues. Okay? So, for how many of us was 2020 a horrible, and I'm not talking about if you got sick, a horrible, terrible year just because of COVID, right? Was it a horrible, terrible year? Or were you still in Jesus Christ? Were you living for self, or were you living for Christ? Were you upset that you couldn't get out? And you couldn't go do all the things that you wanted to do in this life? Because you wanted to live for this life here upon this earth? Or did you find ways while you were shut up, while you're sequestered to your own home, to continue to live for God daily, live for each other, and live for Him? What was your motivation? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves these things. If we're selfishly focused and earthly wealth is our primary goal, our decisions and activities will reflect this. You know, Ray often talks about you. It's hard. This is kind of lost on the next generation, right? When Ray uses the analogy of go look at your checkbook register and you'll see where the importance lies in your life. Well, that's kind of lost on younger generations. How many of you have checkbook registers anymore or even have checks, right, for that matter? Most everything's done online. But if that's the case, go look at your bank account statement and look at where your money goes. Your money goes to what's important to you, okay? And where your motivation is in life. It reminds me of the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. You know, this is the background of this is the man who had such resources and such wealth. He had such crops that his barns couldn't contain it. So what did he do? He tore it down and he built bigger barns to maintain the bigger crops. Jesus, in this parable, he says, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The same holds true if we seek power and if we seek fame. If that is what you seek, that will be your focus. Your time will be devoted to it. Your money, your resources will be devoted to it. You will place yourself in the best advantage to gain exactly what you want. You know, this also goes back to, I kind of think about, get a little sidetracked sometimes, is when we say, "I just don't have time for that." Right? I don't have time for that. Do you know that you're lying to yourself? Because if it was something you really wanted to do, you would find time to do it. You would make time to do it. So when you say, "I don't have time for that," you just don't want to add that to your life and to your stress because it's not really what you want to do. Okay? Or there's something that has to be sacrificed. Sometimes we have to sacrifice what we want to do to put other things in there. And then you got to kind of look at it in your life. Well, who am I living for? What am I living for? And what's more important? Right? And that's hard sometimes. You know, Mike talked about it again, about living for life or living for this earth and living for its pleasures, living for its entertainment. You know, I think it just seems like a lot of the generations today are growing up with entertainment based. It's all about how can I entertain myself? And I struggle with that within my own home with my children who oftentimes don't probably look at dad in a good light all the time when one of my favorite sayings, "Put the electronics away," right? And then they look at dad like, so when I text when I'm coming home from work, right? And I'm sure at that point in time, they're like, "We got to get our electronics in before dad gets home." Because when dad gets home, if he sees electronics in our hand, the first thing he says is, "Put the electronics away." Right? And one of my favorite sayings is, guess what, guys? Life is not all about entertainment. And it's not all about entertaining ourselves. Love some of the songs that Rick led this morning. Because we are here and we live our lives as Christians for Christ, to Christ, to be servants, just like he was. To live is Christ. That's what we do. So that's what's important in life. So let's look at that. To live is Christ. So Paul faced this situation in Philippians chapter 1. He was torn, right, between the two of what he desired. Did he desire to live or did he desire to die? And we see that Paul has suffered greatly for the cause of Christ all throughout his life. But yet he enjoyed living in harmony with God. How do you live in harmony with God? 1 John 5:3, you love God and you keep his commandments. That's how you live in harmony with God. Do you know that even through trials and tribulations, Jesus taught about we as Christians can live a blessed life, even amidst trials and tribulations, as we heard this morning, as Mike talked about. Consider it joy, right? That doesn't mean we're happy about it. You think Paul was always happy every time he was getting beat, every time he was getting the stripes, every time he was thrown into prison? Was he gleefully happy about it? No, but he had joy for the reason for which it was, and that was for the cause of Christ. So if you look at the Beatitudes, you know, we had a class recently, a few weeks back, and we were talking about how to study the Bible, and we were looking at words and how to look at each different word and look those up and see what they really mean. And the Beatitudes tell us that all through there, blessed, right? Divine favor, blessed are you if this. We can have joy in the midst of trials and tribulations as Christians. Paul knew the goal of the Christian life. And I've talked about that, right? Are you here to live for the world and entertain yourself? Or as Paul, are you here to live a life to glorify Christ and to gain eternal life? Think about this. As I was developing this lesson, I thought about, okay, so when you were younger and you knew that you were seeking this gift, okay, you were seeking this gift, and it came around Christmas time, and you thought that there might be that gift under the tree. How focused were you on that gift, and how ecstatic were you that that might be the gift for you that day? Right? Think about your focus. Do you know that the reward that Paul was seeking says far better to die to be with Christ? That reward only comes in death. And that reward only comes in death. So if we think about that, we think about, well, so how can this present life then be that great? How can the current life that we live be that great here upon this earth then, if we look for that ultimate reward in eternal glory when we die? Well, first of all, John 10:10, the latter half says that Christ came to give life, and that he came to give it more abundantly. Okay? He came to give life, and he came to give it more abundantly. Even through the adversities of life, those can be a blessing to us. And again, this is where I look at through the Holy Spirit, how this class this morning just reinforces what I'm talking about this morning. The adversities of life can be a blessing unto us. Yet a lot of times we don't see it while we're in the adversity. It's not until you look in the rearview mirror that you see the blessing of the adversity that you faced and that you're stronger for it. Paul says a weakened or physical body or ailment can draw one closer to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Do you know that the loss of wealth, again, going back to Job, do you know the loss of wealth can lead to a greater dependence upon God and not self? Can lead to a greater dependence upon God and not material possessions? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I'm reminded of Jesus there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth. And then at the end of 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then also as admonition in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. While you're going through it, sometimes we're blinded. We're blinded to see the blessings that come through it and how difficult it is. Job's wife was blinded, right? And yet he maintained his faith throughout it all. There have been those here, and even recently, that have experienced the loss of loved ones. You know that the loss of a loved one can bring you closer to God? The loss of a loved one can bring you closer to each other. and can give you the comfort that you actually need. When I referred to Paul writing to those in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 18, when he was talking about that, he said, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Our loved ones who die in Christ, that's not the end. We can comfort one another and be comforted by that. As Mike said this morning, what is the ultimate goal of remaining faithful through adversity? It's being stronger and being able to persevere through it all in the end. Paul in the 2 Corinthians, he was talking about his weakness, right? He was talking about his difficulties. And yet in the end it says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Is he strong in himself? No. He's strong in Christ Jesus. Okay, I think about going back to the poem or the picture frame, right? Footprints in the sand. When we're weak, that's when he's going to lift us up. This whole thing about God will never give us more than we can handle. Wrong. That is wrong. That's a misapplication of Scripture. There will be more than you can handle. But when that happens, you need to rely on God. Rely on God, depend on Him, and He will pick you up and He will carry you through the weak times. And then in the end, you're going to be stronger for it by keeping your faith. There are positive blessings in this life on earth that we have. We think about families. And as I've traveled all around the country being in the military, guess what? We've never lived around our families. Okay? It just hasn't happened for either my wife or me. But you want to know something? As we traveled all around the country, we became closer to the spiritual family than our biological families. Even though a lot of the biological family are Christians. Okay? But we still became closer with the spiritual family. So we have blessings here upon this earth. Not only do we have biological families that's God given to us, and we don't have a choice of that, but we have a spiritual family. And we have spiritual friends. We have Christian friends. And we can rely upon them. And we can take joy in that. Also, there's joy in doing for others. Acts 20 and 35 says, "More blessed to give than to receive." I ran a visitation program here, and I tried to tell people, do you understand that? And this is one of those things about, I don't have time for that. Okay? Well, sometimes we have to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice self for others. Ultimately, isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what Christ did for us? What we're going to observe this morning, the ultimate sacrifice of self for others. And that's what we have to do. But I will tell you, when it talks about more blessed to give than to receive, you've all experienced when you've given and how joyful you feel in return. And that's the same thing with visitation, right? We go visit and we spread the fellowship and the encouragement, but we receive joy and a blessing in return. And if you haven't done that, you need to try and go see exactly how more blessed you are for having done it than necessarily the one that received it. There's joy in leading others to Christ and strengthening the weak. Philippians chapter 1, 3 through 5 and 2, 1 through 2. You know, you look all through Paul's life, he did not consider this life to be drudgery, right? Paul did not live life like that. He found joy and he found purpose because he lived for Christ. There is so much to live for each and every one of us while we're here upon this earth. But it's for Christ and in Christ is what needs to be our focus while we're here upon this earth. Let's look at the latter half. When Paul said to die is gain, he's expressed a readiness to die. Do you know that he did that at other times? In 2 Corinthians 5:8, he was telling those in Corinth that is being absent in the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And as Philippians is one of my favorite passages, so also is 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you don't know, again, the context of Paul and his writings, okay, 2 Timothy was his last book. All right? He's in prison again in Rome. And yet here he's writing to Timothy. And at the end of Timothy, what does he say? He says in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. Finally," he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And then he uses this term, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So look at his attitude. After all he's gone through, and yet here he is in the end writing to Timothy, and he's telling him, finally, it's at hand, right? He wasn't afraid to die. He was ready to accept it. Because what I say earlier, it's only in death that we get that ultimate reward. So Paul looked forward to his coronation time. The crown is what the Christian life is all about. If you live this whole life doing whatever it is you want to do and what you think is important, and yet when this life is over, you don't receive the crown, it was for naught. It was futile. The crown is what it's all about. Beyond death, Paul would have the privilege of being with God and Jesus Christ, for whom he had suffered so much. I'm not going to read through it all. We don't have the time necessarily to go through it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 22 and going beyond, he lists, right? We talk about lists as we study the Bible. He lists all these sufferings that he's gone through. And again, looking at Paul's life, do you realize that what you read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that's only about two-thirds of his ministry? He still has a third of it to go. So all that suffering is not all-encompassing. There is way more to go after that. Deity dwells beyond time with all the redeemed in Revelation 21:3. And to see God and be with him forever was a great incentive for Paul to die. Sometimes we look at our own lives and we think to ourselves, oh, if I could only die. Put it in perspective. Put it in perspective of Paul and of Jesus Christ and all that he went through, and knowing that his ultimate reward would be in the end when he finally was able to give up this tent and this temporary life and be with God. Death would transport Paul to a land where death is no more, Revelation 21:4. Do you understand the paradox that we're talking about? This paradox, right? Seems like a self-contradictory statement. We must die in order to live. We must die in order to live. As Christians, that should be a great thing. That should be something that we are looking forward to, just as Paul was. In order to live forever, you must die. Revelation 14:13 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." So that's why Paul could say to live as Christ and to die as gain. So you and I, we have choices. We have choices in this life of who we're going to live for. Are we going to live for Christ and his kingdom? Or are we going to live for self and for the world? What are the things that we focus on throughout the week when we're not here on Sundays? When you're not with the brothers and sisters, what are the things that you focus on the most? To the faithful Christian, to die is gain. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That's Paul writing to those in Rome. And think about that from his perspective, right? Think of the trials and tribulations that you go through day in and day out, week in, week out, year to year. What we went through with COVID, was that anything in comparison? And yet Paul says, "I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So here's kind of a sad statement, right? And let's not end on this, but just as to the Christian, just like Paul, when he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Just as Paul says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Do you know that death is not gain to the unrighteous? Death is not gain to those who don't know the Lord. Revelation 20, 10 through 15. Spiritual death results from not loving God and His ways, His commandments, and being carnally minded, or fleshly, or worldly. That happens, that spiritual death happens while we physically live. We can live and yet be dead. And that's that spiritual separation from God. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. It's the result of failing to obey the gospel and enter into His kingdom. John 3, 3 through 5. Everything that is so important to us in this life is lost if one dies in this state. Matthew 16, 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? After death, there is no second chance. Hebrews 9, 27. It's appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. As we live here upon this earth, once we're gone, that's it. There's no second chance. Your chance is now. It's here upon this earth. So, as Christians, what camp do we fall in? Do we fall in the camp of to live as Christ, to die as gain? And regardless of circumstances, while we're here upon this earth, we still live for Christ. And we still rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our trials and our tribulations. Because nothing can take that salvation from us. We can let it happen. We can live our life accordingly to turn our back and walk away. What camp do you fall in? Are you living for self? Are you living for the world? Are you living for all this world's pleasures, all this world's entertainments, all this world's goods? Or are we living for Christ and for His kingdom? I ask us to really just search our hearts. I can't look at you and judge you. You don't look at me and judge me. Look inward and judge yourself about who you're living for. And one of the things I think about when I look at Paul and think about Philippians chapter 1, I think about, are we as Christians afraid to die? Unfortunately, as I get older and I've seen more and more death, if you will, and I see more and more of people who have been fortunate enough to live a long and fruitful life for God, it seems to me like we get to the end of our life and it's hard to let go. And so I ask, what are we hanging on to? What are we hanging on to when we get to the end of this life? Are we afraid to die? Or like Paul, is it accepting and rejoicing that our work and our labors, our toil, our tribulations are all over, and that crown of righteousness awaits us? So think about that. If you knew that this was your last week, would you be sad? Would you rejoice? If you're sad, hopefully it's just for the relationships of your brothers and sisters in Christ and for doing His work and His will upon this earth. You know, I look at, as I was putting this together, I think about all the people that put together these lists, these bucket lists, right? A lot of times when people have a terminal illness or something like that and they're fortunate enough to know that, hey, well, the doctors have said, of course, they're not God, right? And we all know that that doesn't always go as planned. But they develop a bucket list. And oftentimes the bucket list is all based upon locations of going and actions and entertainment. Is that you? Is that what you're living for? Is that what would make you sad if you knew you were leaving this life? I just want us as Christians to think about this as I thought about meditating on what did I want to preach on. We see a lot of things going on in culture right now and in this country. And there are some things that are always on my heart and mind and that I wanted to preach on and I talk about, right? And I've talked about probably over the last couple of weeks from up here I've talked about. But I really wanted to address us as Christians and about no matter how bad it gets, right? Go back. Just look at 2 Corinthians 11. Go back and read the list. You think it's bad for us? How bad was it for Paul? How bad was it for Jesus Christ, who put himself upon the cross in obedience of the will of his Father for each and every one of us? And so I want us to think about this in more of a positive perspective, to think about Jesus going to the glory of his Father, Paul, his crown of righteousness, not afraid to die, to live as Christ, but to die as gain. Do we have that attitude? And that's why I wanted to speak about that this morning. I want us to have that attitude, right? I think about, reflected upon my own self. If I were to die, well, guess what? If I were to die, you know what's sad? What's sad is, yep, I leave my wife and kids. And they're not all full grown. But guess what? God's going to take care of them, right? God will take care of them. And as Paul, while he was still up on this earth, here at the end he says, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is needful for you. Why? Because the fruit. When he remains in the flesh, it's all about his fruit. It's all about his service unto God and his service unto others. It's not about his enjoyment that he gets from living this life, but it's all about others. It's all about Christ and not himself. So I just want us as Christians to think about seriously our motivation for living. What is it? What drives you to want to live day in and day out? Is it as Paul, to live as Christ and to die as gain? Or is everything you're living for, is it all in vain? As Christians, I just want us to look at our own lives and realize that we should be living a life different from the world. Our lives should be night and day into the world. We're the light, we're the salt. Should be night and day, should be totally different. We should be living it more confidently, more joyously, because we have salvation in Jesus Christ. And this life isn't it. When this life is over, we have the crown of righteousness. So let's live for Christ, let's live as Christ, and let's look forward to our eternal reward, our crown of righteousness. So as I look out here right now, I'm one who when I'm up here leading the scene or I'm speaking, I look at faces. And honestly, I'm picking a face in point in time, but our faces don't look like we live for our eternal reward. We sing songs about happiness and joy and all that. And we look out here and, oh, happy day that filled my life. Christians, wake up. Be happy. Be joyous. Yes, this life has trials and tribulations. Yes, we're going to suffer. And especially as we stand up for the Word of God, right? Mike mentioned this morning, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer. Consider that joy. Turn away from that suffering and the tribulation and say thank you. He suffered so much for us. Let us not shy away from suffering for him in our lives. Realizing that this isn't it. Right? Nothing we go through, as Paul said, Romans 8:18, is worthy to be compared with what we'll experience up there. Our eternal reward is coming. We know the end, right? It's been revealed. You know that whole thing about reading a book and turning to the end and telling you what's going to happen? We know what's going to happen. So be joyous in that as Christians. Your eternal reward awaits you. If you're not a Christian this morning and you don't experience that, you don't experience the joy of being in Christ, looking forward to the eternal reward. I talked about it. If you're not in Christ, if you're not in his kingdom, then dying is not gain to you. Because just as there's eternal reward, there's eternal punishment. But I want us as Christians to look forward to eternal reward and be joyous in doing so and live your lives accordingly. And just think on yourselves. Who do you live your life for? If you have a need this morning, we want you to go ahead and come. We'll pray for you and we'll help you through anything you can. If you want to obey the gospel, if you want to enter into this kingdom to have this eternal reward when it's all over and to have that joy, whatever your needs are, please come as we stand and sing this morning.